Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Always great to see you, and thanks for wearing black and gold.
I did. It was purposeful this time.
Really?
Sometimes
so you woke
it's
up and said, I'm seeing Ed Berger.
Well,
Southwestern, black and gold.
I have to pick out my clothes the night before because I get up so early. So last night I said, yes, I'm going to wear black and gold because it's a taping day.
Thank you.
And here I am.
Thank you.
So, you know, I want to remind listeners that we love to hear from you and we love to hear about possible episode topics. If there's something you would like us to chat about or that you're wondering about, email it to me. It's just jstayton, S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. Send me your ideas. And we do love to do episodes with listener ideas. And this episode comes from a listener.
Oh.
I'm going to kind of paraphrase her question here, but it's about the proliferation of fake news. And, you know, that's very much been
out there
during campaign season. And subsequently, you know, there's sort of that quintessential example. There was an online story that the Pope had endorsed Donald Trump during the presidential campaign. That's fake news. Just did not happen.
Right.
There is a bill before the state legislature in California that would require the formation of a commission that would do this. It would be the instructional quality commission would develop and the state board would adopt some curriculum standards in California and frameworks for certain classes, language arts, math, history, social science, and science that would incorporate what they're calling civic online reasoning. Now, they go on to define civic online reasoning means the ability to judge the credibility and quality of information found on internet websites, including social media. So essentially, this is a bill before the California State Legislature that would require schools to teach students how to try to, you know, judge credibility and quality. So essentially, how to figure out if the information they're seeing online is correct or not. You know, fake news certainly falls in that category. There's certainly other things online that not necessarily fake news, but that just are not true. So, you know, our listener, our questioner wanted to know, is this the job of schools to incorporate into their curriculum a specific way to sort of teach students and help them understand if what they're seeing is in fact correct?
Well, of course, I have no idea what the phrase civic online reasoning is. I wrote that down. But let me just say, the idea of doing that kind of analysis, I am all for that. It should be part of the school. Again, I don't know what civic online reasoning means and how you teach that. But to me, what that means is effective thinking. If you strive for deep understanding and not have the superficial level of read something and then therefore claim that you understand it, if you're constantly looking at things from different points of view and asking interesting questions, if you, when things do not go right or things, when you fail or make a mistake, you just don't kind of leave it, but you learn something from it. And if you're looking for flow of ideas, I think all those together allows you to change into a person that actually would be able to deal with some of these issues. That being said, so I love that, whatever it means.
So they say civic online reasoning, the ability to judge the credibility and quality of information found online.
Right,
so
and that requires effective thinking.
Yeah.
That requires effective thinking. And but it's interesting because, you know, fake news, I mean, to me, and again, I don't even know the definition of that, although everyone's talking about it. To me, it's an intentional misleading thing. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, you know, the great thing about mathematics, the great thing about my wonderful field of study is that, you know, we know when things are facts and when they're not facts.
You know, 2 + 2 = 4.
Correct. Now, if you change the axioms, then you could actually get different answers.
Oh, no.
So then something that seemed like a fact one day could be a non-fact the other day, but that's because you've changed something else. You've changed kind of the meta space that you're in. But within our world, whether it's political or social or societal, worlds that involve human beings interacting, they are so much far more complicated than clean mathematics that if I say to you, you know, I plan to do that and genuinely mean that, then that's a fact. If I end up not doing that, well, that then changes it. But I mean, so again, it's so ephemeral. But to me, fake news
are stories that people share, especially through social media, that are intentionally wrong and that are just trying to there to cause chaos. I think I shared with you that I watched a video once. The only thing I do is, of course, Twitter. I don't do Facebook or anything. But on Twitter, I saw a video, and the video was very upsetting. And it seemed like there was this person that was experiencing this injustice, and it actually got me upset. I watched it because it was very realistic, and then it turned out the whole thing was a scam. It was fake news that this person actually just choreographed this thing and put it out there just to anger people or to get people reacting to it. That's not news.
Well, and the other reason that those are created, of course, is so that people will click on them, because more clicks means more people viewing, which means more
money.
Right, which means, you know, for sites and et cetera that are run by ads and number of people viewing, then they want just more clicks.
So, I mean, there really is a question about how do you identify fake news? And I'd say there's even a more fundamental question in the media today, not just social media, but in the media. When is it news? Okay, if you watch television programs, you know, listen to radio stations, listen to podcasts, watch online material, so much of that is commentary. And a lot of people listen to those opinions and take that as news. And to me, that's even more profound when California is thinking about these things. And I would urge the state of California to think about that as well. Not just about the intentional stories that are put out there that are just fiction, that are just designed to create chaos or create money, but also to be able to decipher a factual thing versus an opinion or a feeling. Because on news, you can no longer tell. When we were all kids and there was the 5 o'clock and then the 10 o'clock news, they would report facts. Now, with the 24/7 news cycle, you're getting a lot of opinions, and people perceive that as news, and that's a problem as well.
Right. There are certainly the lines are blurred. There certainly still is straight up reporting out there, but
yes,
there is a lot of commentary, speculation, opinion that gets mixed in with it.
On the same program, and that's the problem. So how do we teach people to tease that apart and saying that person's giving an opinion and this person is stating a fact, and here's how I know it's a fact?
So I'm going to assume that the puzzler is, that the answer is a fact.
This puzzler has from last week has the feature that at least there's no fake facts here.
Okay.
Let me remind everyone what it was really quickly. It was
okay.
About you and I. So Jennifer and Ed have apples. If Jennifer gives Ed an apple, they will have the same number of apples. However, if Ed gives Jennifer an apple, Jennifer will have twice as many apples as Ed. The question is, how many apples do Jennifer and Ed each have? And so this is an interesting puzzler because it kind of is algebra, which, of course, is a real fact. Did you have a chance to think about this? I know that you're taking a Spanish class, and so maybe you didn't have time to work this into your other homework.
You know, I did think about it, and my answer is wrong.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, because you had an answer, and then you tried to see if it works.
I did a quick answer. So you had suggested breaking it down into pieces,
mm-hmm,
and sort of slicing the apple, if you will.
Oh, look at
you.
Look at you.
I did the first part, which is if Jennifer gives Ed an apple, they have the same number of apples.
Right.
But it doesn't work the other way. However, I thought it did.
The first thing to do is to figure out what that sentence means. If
right.
Jennifer gives Ed an apple. They'll have the same number. That means, notice that you will give up an apple.
Sure. But
I will get another apple.
Right.
And so then, therefore, if I just think about Jennifer as representing the number of apples she has,
uh-huh,
and Ed representing the number of apples he has, then what do I know? I know that Jennifer actually will have the same number of apples as Ed if we add how many more to Ed's apples? It would have to be...
Oh, I thought it was just adding one.
Because I'm taking one away from you.
Right. See, what I had was myself starting with three.
Mm. Oh,
and
I
you
see.
Starting
so you
with
it.
One.
No, I'm just saying that because if you take one away from Jennifer's
right.
apples, then you add one to my apple.
Right.
And so Jennifer minus one equals Ed plus one.
Right. So
which means that, in fact, the number of apples you originally had was, in fact, equal to the number of apples I had plus two. I have to add an apple, and I'm taking one of yours away.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's the first thing. So Jennifer equals Ed plus two.
Okay.
Now, what does the second thing say? The second thing says that if Ed gives Jennifer an apple, so now Jennifer will have Jennifer plus one, then that will be the same thing as twice as many apples as I now have. Well, I have one less, so that's going to be Ed minus one, and that's all doubled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be two Ed minus two. And so if Jennifer plus one is equal to two Ed minus 2, that means that Jennifer is just 2ed minus 3. And there's the little bit of algebra in there.
There is some algebra in there.
So now there's two facts that we know. Jennifer is the same thing as Ed plus 2.
Right.
But also Jennifer is the same thing as 2 times Ed minus 3. And so since Jennifer and Jennifer are the same, that tells us that Ed plus 2 is the same thing as 2Ed minus 3. Uh-huh. And if you think about that, that means that 2 equals Ed minus 3. And if 2 equals Ed minus 3, what must Ed equal?
5.
Correct. So Ed must have 5 apples, and if you have 2 more than I, then you must have started with 7. And let's just see
if that works.
So if you have 7 and 5, if we take 1 away from you, then you'd have how many?
6.
And if I were to give it to me,
you'd have 6.
So then we are equal. That's
right.
Good. If I take 1 away from myself, that means I'd only have...
Starting with the beginning. Now you're down to 5. Okay, 5.
So I have 5. I have 5 and 7. If I take 1 away from mine,
4.
I now have 4. And if I give it to you, you now have...
Oh, I have...
7 plus 1.
Oh, 8.
8.
Which is...
And it's just double.
2 times 4, right.
Exactly.
So here's an interesting thing I'm realizing about...
By the way, if anyone listener is having a nightmare, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. But the power of algebra allows you to take all those words and systematically find a solution.
You know what I did also is I actually misunderstood the puzzler. I thought that... Those were sequential activities.
Oh, that if starting from where you ended,
yes.
I am
so
sorry.
So I did the first part, and then I started with, okay, so now I've given Ed an apple, and then...
Oh.
So I thought they were related activities.
I'm sorry.
I see. It's interesting to me to think about the process, because I was realizing, as you were saying it, that I actually sort of built in a rule or an assumption that was not there.
And it's interesting because if you're getting back to this thing about fake news,
uh-huh.
What are we trying? What does California want to teach, you know, her students? Well, in some sense, it's being able to understand what they hear and to be able to parse it and to determine, again, opinion versus fact. And then how do you check that? And so it's going deep. And I think that in every subject we teach, we should be going deep. And people should not just accept. I always tell my students, don't accept anything I say on blind faith, but make sure you understand it. And that's deep understanding. And that should be the case with the news. Hard when you see a thing and you're, you know, your eyes don't deceive you. I'm watching a video and it looks like it's true. You have to doubt all of these.
It's also interesting to me that I think, you know, coming out of, you know, say 12 years of school or more years of school if you do college work or even postgraduate work, that we're kind of trained to believe what's in the book and what's presented sort
right.
of not without question, but there are many subjects in which we are told, learn this, memorize this, do it, and then regurgitate it on the test. So sometimes I think that skill of, wait a minute, that just flat doesn't make sense. Or
right.
wait a minute, that I don't think that
how
2 plus 2 equals 7.
Right.
I'm just not, you know, I think sometimes we don't stop to question because if it's coming from a place of authority
yep.
that seems like it should be accurate, we tend to take that at face value.
So in the courses I teach in mathematics, of course, many times the odd answers are in the back of the book. And a lot of times students will do an odd question to warm themselves up for the even one that I assigned, and they'll get an answer that differs. The truth is, there are so many typos, you know, riddled throughout textbooks,
sure,
and
sure.
especially in mathematics, where it's so. And I will say to them again, you should have more faith in your own reasoning than in anyone else's or any printed thing. And so it's your own reasoning, but that reasoning has to be effective, and it has to be thoughtful, and it has to be robust. And if you are confident, then you should go forward and have doubt. Doubt is good. We talked about that. And so even in mathematics, when they get the, you know, an answer that differs, I'm like, well, who's right? And they just say, oh, the book must be right. And that leads to bad citizenship.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us keep our confidence in our power of reasoning and intellect and for keeping our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.